Amos chapter 4, verse 12. Therefore, thus will I do to you, O Israel, and because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. This is a call to judgment from God. But it is not a call to judgment from God as a call to judgment as from a merciless tyrant. It's a call to judgment as it were from a heartbroken father. How often God tried to get the attention of his people Israel. We read it there so often. God had sent them famine in verse 6 to try to get their attention. And he said after it, yet you've not returned to me. I sent you famine, but you didn't turn to me. Then I sent you drought in verse 7, but you still didn't turn to me. I sent you diseases in your crops, verse 9. Yet you did not return to me. I sent you plagues, but you still didn't return. I sent you epidemics, but you still didn't return to me. I sent you earthquakes, verse 10, verse 11. Yet you didn't turn to me. I sent war, yet you've not returned to me. And because you haven't returned to me, after all these warnings, therefore, prepare to meet your God. Note how God spells it out to his people. I did it. I sent the famine. I gave you cleanness of teeth, which is it was a Hebrewism for famine. Your teeth were clean because they were never got dirty. You had no food to eat. I withheld the rain. I smote you. I overthrew you. It was me. Yet you did not return to me. Now, here is God. And he's about to exercise judgment upon Israel. He isn't rubbing his hands and saying, ah, I've got you now. Oh, no, 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 no. That's not the picture. That's not the way in which God says, prepare to meet your God. It's the cry, as we said, of a heartbroken father. It's the cry of a frustrated lover who wants his ex back with him. And he's saying, I'll have you back. No one else would have you back, but I'll have you back. And that's a real cry to anyone today who at one time were close to God, who at one time were seeking God seriously, but have drawn back and have backslidden and have turned their back on God. God saying, I'll have you back. Oh yes, you hurt me. Oh yes, you offended me. Oh yes, you grieved me. But I'll have you back. No one else would have you back, but I will have you back. That's his cry. Now, after all these, as it were, failed warnings, how did Israel respond? Well, sadly, they responded just the same way as we are doing today in the 21st century Western world. One commentator has simply said it like this. How did Israel respond to these overtures, loving overtures from God, who so distressed, who received back those who forsaken them, but they still won't turn? How did they respond? They responded by simply putting up a sign saying, business as usual. They carried on oblivious to the pleadings and the overtures of mercy which God had made to Israel. Quite oblivious to the voice of God. You see, at the time that he sent the famine, at the time he sent their enemies to overthrow them, at the time he sent the earthquake to them, they were oblivious that it was God who was doing it. But now he spelt it out to them. Now he said to them, do you remember that adversity in your life? Do you remember when I sent the earthquake? Do you remember when I sent the famine? That was me. That was me pleading with you to come back. Maybe God's saying that to you tonight. Do you remember when you lost your job? Do you remember when your husband went bankrupt? Do you remember when your marriage broke? That was me. That was me calling you back. That was me saying, look, I know you've forsaken me. I know you've rejected me. But I will have you back. Return. Return to me. I will receive you. That's how they responded. They didn't. They just carried on as if he hadn't spoken. So how did they deal with all these difficulties? How did they deal with famine? How did they deal with the earthquake? What did they do when God sent his enemies upon them to get their attention? How did they respond? Well, as I said already, they responded the way we do today in the Western world of the 21st century. God sends drought, doesn't he? God sends famine, doesn't he? How do we respond today? Well, we build reservoirs. We alter our policy for deforestation. See, that's what we do. Instead of repenting, instead of confessing our sin, we try and solve the symptom. There's no rain. Well, send rockets up to the clouds and burst a cloud. We'll get over the problem that way. We're not going to return to God. We're not going to admit there's a God in heaven behind it all. We've got our own solutions. I mean, this is the 21st century. What do we do today when there's floods? And God sends floods to say, hey, I send the flood. I'm trying to get your attention. I'm trying to tell you, I'm here. Well, we call them the meteorologists, don't we? We ask them to give us an analysis of why there's all this water coming down. We look for scientific explanations. We look for second causes. We look at the means God has appointed for sending the flood instead of looking for God. We're leaving God out. We're looking at the second causes. We're looking at what God uses for these things instead of seeing God behind them. What do we do when there's earthquakes? Well, this is the 21st century. Who doesn't know that earthquakes are due to geological fault lines? We all know that. This is the 21st century. But you see, that's instead of turning to God. We're leaving God out. Epidemics? No problem today. You just diagnose the virus, find some inoculation, spray fungicide in your crops. Get around the problem. But we're only dealing with the symptoms. What's the cause? The cause is we are not returning to God. We're, as we said in the morning, excluding the God factor. taking God out of the equation, taking God out of the problem, as it were, and replacing it with our own wisdom. Oh, we can cope with floods now and again. We can cope with earthquakes when we know the where the fault line is. We are trying to live without God. And God's trying to speak to us. We're trying to deal with the economic crisis just now. God's just playing with us. As if playing on a yo-yo. Oh, once we get the balance of payments figured right, we'll be alright. And once we pay off this debt, we'll be alright. Once the value of the dollar goes right, we'll be alright. God's just playing with us in the yo-yo string. We get what we said was a problem 5 years ago, and another problem arises. We solve that, and then another issue comes. Oh, but it wasn't for China and for India and them taking over their expansion and industry. See what it's done to the oil. What have you. Oh, but something else happens. God's just playing with us. God says, I want you back to me. I want you to acknowledge me. Now, note exactly what God is saying here. Therefore, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. I always read that as prepare to meet God. Prepare to meet the God of all the earth. It's not what it says. Prepare to meet your God. Your own God, O Israel. How did Israel in the first place belong to God? Did Israel choose God amongst all the false gods that there were Israel able to identify false God, false, there's the true God, you can see him, we'll have him. Is that how it happened? No. How did Israel belong to God in the first place? It happened by God saying, I will be your God, O Israel. I'll be your God. Israel didn't choose God. God chose Israel. And you know, there's a real application that to some of us here. If you have been brought up in a Christian home, God is saying to you, I'll be your God. I'm offering myself to be your God. I'm the God of all the earth. I'm the God that of all the elements in my hand. I'm the God of all eternity. I'm the God that brought everything into existence. I'm offering to be your God. I'm offering to forgive all your sins. I'm offering to protect you. I'm offering to bless you. If you be not brought up in a Christian home, God is saying that to you. If you've been brought here by friends, maybe you haven't been brought up in a Christian home, but you've been brought here by friends, God is saying to you, here, in this building tonight, I'll be your God. Take me as your God. I will have you. I love you. Take me. Receive me. If you're here for whatever reason, God is saying to you, I'll be your God. Anyone entering God's house, anyone reading the scriptures, is confronted by God offering himself to be offering, God is offering his forgiveness and his friendship to all who have a copy of the Bible, to all who will read the Bible, to all who come to his house and hear the gospel being preached. God is offering himself to them. You needn't scratch your head and say, "Oh, I wish I was one of them. I wish God would come to me." And God is here tonight, offering himself to you. He knows all about you. He knows all about your past. He knows how close you were to him at one time, and how you decided, "Not yet. Not yet." He knows that. And he's here again tonight. And he's saying, "Return. Come back. I'll have you. All can be forgiven. I'll be your God. I'll be your friend. I'll go before you." Note each word of the challenge here. Prepare to meet your God. If you are not going to listen to God's overtures of mercy, if you are determined to say no to God's pleadings with you, prepare to meet God. Prepare to meet your God. Prepare to meet the God you rejected. Prepare to meet the God you try to avoid. The God you excluded. Prepare to meet him. Someone has said that you actually never read in the Bible that we should prepare for death. What you read in the Bible is prepare for judgment. Prepare for judgment. Prepare to meet God. If you're not going to have his overtures of mercy, then prepare to meet him. Prepare to meet the real God. Not a God of your imagination. You've maybe heard of people, and you explain to them what the Bible says, and they say, "Oh, I don't believe in a God like that. I wouldn't have a God like that. I wouldn't believe in a God like that." Listen, religion isn't like going down the supermarket aisle and, "Oh, I like that brand of cornflakes. I like that brand of butter." It's not a choice. There is one living and true God. It's not a case of selecting and choosing your God. It's not a case of, "Oh, I don't like that religion, I'm not having it." When it comes to religion, when I go to the doctor, I want him to tell me the truth. I don't want to go to a doctor and say, "Don't worry, George, everything's fine. Don't worry. Try and enjoy yourself. I'm serious." I want a God who'll tell me if there's something seriously wrong with me. I will not enjoy it one little bit, but I want the truth. When it comes to religion, my friend, you want the truth. You want the truth. And the truth is this: God will have you. God will forgive you. The one living and true God will have you. He will forgive everything. He will be your friend. But if you insist, and if you persist in saying no, then prepare to meet the real God, the only God there is. Prepare to meet. The word "meet" in the Old Testament here is very interesting. It's used in two ways. It's used, the word used for an enemy, for an army, going out into a field, which is the field of battle. The word for an army going into the battlefield to meet the enemy. A confrontation.
prepare for the confrontation with God. But it's also used another way. It's a word used for meeting a friend around a meal table. Same word. A friendship meal. Meet your friends round dinner. And it's as if God is saying here, it need not be a confrontation. The way you're behaving, that's what it's going to look like. But it need not be that. You can meet God in peace. It's up to you. You're going to meet Him one way or the other. Now we might very well seriously ask, well, how then do we prepare to meet God? The question is, the situation is, how are we going to prepare to meet a God who is angry against the guilty sinner? Israel were blood red in guilt. Israel just refused to be forgiven by God. Didn't want anything to do with them. How are you going to meet such an angry God? How does one deal with an angry God? The Bible says God is angry with the sinner every day. The wrath of God abides on the sinner. He can be forgiven, but if he doesn't, if he's not interested in forgiveness, the wrath of God that's hanging above his head will fall upon him. So how can we meet an angry God? Well, I was saying on Thursday night in Harris Communion, I was preaching on 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, I think it is. He, Jesus Christ, is the propitiation for our sins. And there's that word, propitiation. Do you know what it means? One of the things that word propitiation means is the meeting place. Jesus is the meeting place between God and man. Jesus is the place where a guilty sinner can meet an angry God in peace. That's the question. How can a guilty sinner meet an angry God? He is the propitiation. He is the meeting place for our sins. Our sins are against us. But there's a place where we guilty, hell-deserving sinners can meet God in peace. And it's the foot of the cross. It's the place called Calvary, if you like. There, the fire of God's anger burned against Christ instead of against the sinner. Now I often think of Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. And I always notice this. The Bible does not say your anger is turned off. You see, God cannot stop being angry with sin. But the picture is this. You were angry with me. The anger of God was set upon the head of the sinner. But your anger is turned away. Your anger has been redirected from off the head of the sinner to go upon the head of his innocent dear Son, Jesus Christ. It's the redirection of God's angry, of anger. God cannot but be angry with sin. But he was angry with his son Jesus instead of being angry with those believers who believe in him. He is the propitiation. He's the one who turned away the anger of God upon himself. So he is the meeting place. The place where an angry God is pacified. Where an angry God can be at peace with sinners. And he can be at peace with you. However guilty, however ill-deserving, however sinful. The Bible tells us there is one God. And one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. He is the propitiation. He's the meeting place. He's the redirection of God's anger. You see, actually, we're back. We're back to the personal relationship that God desires with his people, with human beings. God wants a personal relationship with us. And we can only have that personal relationship through Jesus, through Christ, through the atoning sacrifice that Jesus made once and for all. The sad thing for Israel is that they were having none of it. They didn't want it. They weren't interested. They had their agenda for life. They had their plans for life. They wanted their mortgage finished in so many years. They wanted this, they wanted that. They had their goals. And it's just, nothing changes, does it? Oh, once I settle down and I get married. Oh, once I pay off the mortgage. Once I've got my pension paid up. If you believe in these things nowadays. Once I've done this, once I've done putting off, trying to reach our agendas. But God says the most important thing is, make your peace with me first. Israel didn't want to listen to God. And so, he has to say, therefore, there's no more probation. God said to Israel, we'll give you a little bit of probation. You've refused me, you've rejected me, but I'll give you a little longer. And then they refused him again. He says, well, I'll give you a little longer again. And then he sent another trouble, but they rejected him again. So he gave them a little longer. He gave them probation. But he said, if you're not going to listen, if you don't want it, all right, there's no more provision. There's no more amnesties. There's no more warnings. There's no more delays. Prepare to meet your God. It's up to you, as it were, he's saying. You have the choice. I'll forgive everything. All can be forgiven. But if you really don't want it, if you really don't want it, prepare to meet your God. The God you said, I'm not interested in your salvation. He's offering every single one of you here tonight salvation, full and free in Christ. If you don't want it, if you persist in not wanting it, God is saying, okay, prepare to meet your God face to face in judgment. Well, in conclusion, three lessons we learn. Number one, no one can say. You look at the life of Israel here. A terrible judgment came upon them. The Assyrians came down. Oh, what carnage. and they took them all away. But you cannot say, God judges suddenly. You can't say God judged them out of the blue. There was warning, and there was warning, and there was warning. There was a long process of warnings preceding it. And you're the same. This is not the first time you've heard the gospel. If God was to strike you down dead on the way home, you can't say it was, well, it was sudden as far as we're looking at it, but you can't say he never gave me a chance. How many chances have you had? You've one more chance tonight. If you insist in saying no to God, prepare to meet him. You can't say you weren't warned. You can't say it, oh, it came so sudden, you had no opportunity. He's given you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. Second lesson is this. God is love. My friend, that is true. I don't know how often we read it in the Bible. God is love. But listen. God is love does not mean God is soft. Two entirely different things. God offers love indiscriminately to everyone who comes into his house, who reads his word, who hears the gospel. He offers instant full salvation to all who come within earshot of the gospel. And he means it. But if you're not serious, God is not soft. He is love, but he is not soft. God is not easily provoked, but he is provoked. God is patient, but his patience can run out. Otherwise, he's not patience, it's indifference. If God lets everything go, if God never judges, then that's not justice. That's indifference. God is not indifferent to his standards. He offers pardon and forgiveness and peace to all. But if they persist, God is not soft. His patience can run out. Someone, in fact, has written a book on the book of Amos, and that's the title of it. When God's patience runs out. Finally, prepare to meet your God. The real God. The only God there is. The God you rejected more than once. Prepare to meet him. But listen, why wait till then? Why wait till then to meet God? Why not meet God tonight in peace through Jesus? He'll have you. He'll have you in love. He'll have you in forgiveness. He'll welcome you. You don't need to wait to the judgment to meet him. He'll meet you tonight in peace in Christ through Jesus. So hear Jesus saying to you tonight, come to me. Come now. Let's reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they can be as wool. Come now, let's talk together. All can be forgiven. May God make His word, His truth, effectual to every one of us. Let's bow our heads in prayer.